We have another delightful experience this morning as our friend Dr. David Wimber, who is here with us to speak. I always am inspired and excited by the depth of his new thought, understanding, and experience, and all of the beautiful thoughts that he weaves together for us when he comes to see us. So here is our friend David.
Well, thank you so much. you know, I get a lot of my thoughts from you folks, and which I love. And I love Ernest and the whole group and what you communicate. And I feel it's a privilege that you have invited me. Connie, I love every time you do. I'm excited, especially in this 20th year, right, of your meeting. So it's real extra special. So thank you. You know, I guess I consider myself an Aber, right? Because I come from the Abraham, which, you know, Ernest is, they're all the same, right? Very similar, right? But consider myself an Aber. And I was almost brought to tears when Connie said a while back, she said, you know, at an Abraham meeting, one of the hot seaters asked about Ernest Holmes. And Abraham said, he's talking to you now. I mean, that really set my heart because he was up there with them because he is part of them. And he's probably one of the closest to how they view the universe. So Ernest is very special too. You know, Abraham is more kind of an everyday kind of talking. She'll joke with you and all that. And more down to earth. And Ernest is a little more esoteric in how he writes, but very poetic. Anyway, I love the poetry that he puts in there. So I'm going to quote a bunch of those things today. Let me get my computer up here, right? So in the energy back of thought, Ernest starts out by wondering, and I quote, how can we doubt the power back of things? And again, nature lies in the lap of an intelligence and life. Joe Dispenza calls it an intelligent love or a loving intelligence. You know, the circle of life, the seasons of the year, as Ernest calls it, seed time and harvest time. The seasons of the year are assured. How can we not understand the oneness behind it? As Abraham says, going to sleep at night, we don't worry about waking up in the morning and there being no sunrise. Our planets circle the sun in their exact positions forever. Our Earth circles the sun in 365 days every year. The Earth rotates every 24 hours. As the good book says, let there be day and night. And to get back to the seasons of the year, the earth turns towards the sun to give us spring and summer. And every 6 months, it just stops and turns back to give us 6 months of fall and winter. I'm shaking my head if that by itself doesn't make you a believer. And Ernest says, quote, we can see but one reasonable conclusion, that back of everything is a unitary power, all knowing, all good, and all beautiful. Absolute, birthless, deathless, and changeless. We say omniscient is all knowing, omnipotent, all powerful, and omnipresent everywhere. Ernest doesn't give credit to the birthless, deathless, and changeless part of the quote. But it comes from a part of the Bhagavad Gita, which says, never the spirit was born, the spirit shall cease to be never. Never was time it was not. End and beginning of our dreams. Birthless, deathless, and changeless remaineth the spirit forever. Death hath not touched it at all, dead though the house of it seems. I love that quote. Ernest says the religions of today look to an outside God, but the people of today are searching for an inner consciousness. And as only Ernest can say it, quote, with the dew of eternity on the garden, the soul ventures forth to find a better God. Mm. And this God is without and within. Ernest says, quote, we are created in the likeness of the eternal after the image of the infinite. In a talk I once gave, I said we are created in the image of God. That doesn't mean we look like God. It means we are the essence of God, a oneness with the wholeness of God. As Ernest says, quote, a unity with the whole, unquote. We are searching for reality, and it comes from going within for the answers, connecting to the unity within and listening for the answers. Eric Butterworth wrote a book, The Universe is Calling. But are you listening? And Emily Gady said, we talk to God, it's called prayer. God talks to us, it's called intuition or inspiration. I quoted Emily Gady before, from desire in the heart is always God tapping at the door of your consciousness with his infinite supply. The rest of the quote is, quote, desire for anything is the thing itself in incipiency. That is, the thing you desire is not only for you, but has already been started toward you out of the heart of God. It is the first approach of the thing itself striking you that makes you desire it or even think of it at all, unquote. From the Bible, John 14:10, the words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works, unquote. And when we are actively seeking the answers to reality, the universe is listening. As we search for this truth, Ernest says science uses the inductive process to lead to deductions, and all deductions are revelations. And by revelations, Ernest means the uncovering of that which already is in essence, already is law and order. And he quotes, it's like electricity, right? The concept, the laws governing it. They've always been there since creation. We say creation is already done. Line up with that which you are one. Thomas Edison was at that evolutionary point and allowed it to be revealed to him. Remember, revelation is 24/7. We are part of a unity. We are always connected. And revelation flows to us and within us and all around us. Are we listening? The only question is, are we allowing it to be revealed? As Abraham says, we are dealing with an energy that creates worlds. So as part of that energy, the power behind that energy that we are already a part of is the creative power of thought. Remember, as we think, we are. What we contemplate, we create. Ernest says, quote, when we think of energy back of thought or the power of faith and prayer, this power is original power. It is the law of the universe. And Ernest continues, quote, the intelligent power in the universe receives the impress of the thought and acts upon it. The law of the universe propels mind into action and action into being. Joe Dispenza explains it as, the mind sends out the signal, which is the thought, and the thought creates the experience, and the experience creates the emotion, and the elevated emotion draws the event back to you. Ernest says, quote, the loving intelligence of the universe accepts the word of faith and acts upon it. Then Ernest juxtaposes the loving intelligence, quote, with the, quote, intelligent practitioner who knows that the intelligent universe acts upon his word. And the intelligent practitioner also knows that this law of action responds by correspondence. By correspondence, Ernest means, the quote, the measure of our faith in the infinite is the measure of our capacity to draw from the infinite. He quotes the great teacher, who could be Jesus or Buddha, and quote, it is done unto you as you believe, unquote. Abraham says, you cannot manifest outside your belief system, unquote. Mark 11:24, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you have already received it, and it is yours. Our mental acceptance, our faith, determines what manifests through us. And Ernest says, we must subject ourselves to the law if we want the law to subject itself to us. Love that. In other words, we must have belief and faith in the existence of the law if we want the law to work through us. The energy of thought is a priori. We don't have to do anything to make it work. It already exists. And since we are part of the unity, it exists in us. All we have to do is line up with the corresponding vibration to the loving intelligence, the vibration of love, appreciation, kindness, compassion, caring, etc. Abraham expresses it as alignment with source energy, alignment with the vortex of creation, where all your desires are held in escrow. And Joe Dispenza says, we live in a three-dimensional world of the material. Creation comes from the fifth dimension of space beyond the speed of light, where we are just an awareness of the vibrational nature of the universe, the quantum field of infinite possibilities. Rumi said, out beyond the ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. Ernest says, quote, we must learn that we can transcend our previous experiences, that beyond the finite is the infinite, unquote. And remember, God created the world in 6 days. The seventh day was rest. After each day, he said it was good. And after the 6 day, he said it was done. That means all combinations and permutations already exist. As religious science says, set your intention and give your undivided attention to what you want to bring forth. When we set our intentions, and as Dr. Joe says, elevate our emotions, then by the law of attraction or the law of mind action, we draw the desire towards us. Thoughts become things, but it's not any haphazard thought. It's the strong, intentional thought that connects to the universe. The universe knows what you desire and how you feel about it, not just what you think and say. And Ernest says, quote, definite thinking draws its energy to our conscious desires and demonstrates at the level of our faith in the law of God. There must be a conscious belief on those seeking to demonstrate this principle that their faith and thought are but the avenues through which the law expresses itself. It's an aside. Yesterday, I was sitting here with Lisa in the sunroom, and you know, we're in Maryland area. So yesterday it was a lot of wind, and today really windy, and it was cooler, but really windy. So we were reading a daily quote from the Daily Word. And it said it was about Jesus and the disciples crossing the lake, and there was a big wind and a storm that came and it filled the boat, and Jesus just sleeping, you know. So they worried and they wake him up. And so I'll quote from Mark 4:39. He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. So we're sitting in the sunroom reading that, and the wind was really blowing up at that time. And I said, okay, peace, be still. And it all, the wind subsided. I said, could it be that simple? Well, you know, so sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't, but it was really a renewal of what can be. So believe, have faith, and then know beyond any reasonable doubt how the law of the universe works. The power or energy back of thought is already ready. Ernest says, quote, in mental treatment, thought merely uses the power intelligently. And if we have a problem to solve, we must know that intelligence is now solving it. This is so similar to Abraham. Step one is ask. Step two, get out of the way. Source already is on it. And step three, line up with the vibration of what you desire. As Neville says, live in the feeling of the wish fulfilled as if it has already happened. Ernest again, quote, treatment should be concrete, specific, conscious, and definite. It should be given with a complete acceptance that there is a power, an intelligent law, which operates upon the word, unquote. So in other words, we must hold these principles to the utmost and be steadfast in our belief. A while ago when I gave a talking to folks, I think it was before we must have been meeting in Sterling at that time. I played a song by Johnny Mercer. I'm gonna say the first four lines. It's a Johnny Mercer song, and the name is Accentuate the Positive. So he says, accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, and don't mess with Mr. in between. So if you think about those four statements, and I'll read them again, and you just think about what you think is the most important. Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, and don't mess with Mr. in between. So there's no one real answer, but here, from my perspective, the most important is Mr. in between. Because Mr. in between is doubt. We must eliminate all doubt. As Ernest says, quote, clear the field of doubt and leave the mind open to cause, unquote. In relation to cause, Joe Dispenza talks about three-dimensional world of cause and effect. Something happens which leads to an effect. The connotation is that something happens is either random or out of our control. But in the fifth dimension, where we are at one with unity, we have the ability to cause the effect. And in earnest way, he says, as there is an innermost recess of the soul which dwells in eternal stillness, there is also an outermost circumference of our being. The outermost, animated by the innermost, goes forth to accomplish. Thus alone can contemplation become fruition and inner recognition become outer realization, unquote. Ernest admonishes us to stay only a relatively short time in active meditation. He thought like 30 or 60 minutes. He says, quote, with communion with the soul and spirit, it comes inspiration and guidance, which needs to be acted upon, or else we are idle dreamers. And he says, a religious scientist is a practical idealist, not an idle dreamer. Man has to express himself. The original creative genius forever passes from substance, which is thought, through law, into manifestation. There was a sign on an art store window which said, create, quote, creativity relies on the courage to let go of certainty, unquote. The certainty here is the outside manifestations. As religious scientists, we embrace the inner certainty of the law, the energy of life force that is always listening and then creating. So leave the creation to the universe. It knows better than you. The universe knows the vibration you are emanating and will match the desire with something of equal or maybe even greater value. Let the universe surprise you. Didn't the good book say, ask, and I shall receive. Emily Cady expresses Hebrews 11:1 as, faith takes hold of and molds the substance of things hoped for and brings into evidence or visibility that which is not yet seen. Unquote. It's like a potter at his wheel. He touches and molds and spins the wheel. The creative process is guided by the energy back of thought through intuition. The end result is a cooperative expression between you and spirit. When Michelangelo was asked how he created the David statue, he was reported to have said, "That's easy. You just chip away the stone that doesn't look like David. It was already there. I just chipped away." Ernest says, quote, "As practical religionists, we seek to make our dreams come true by every day demonstrating our principle that true ideas pass through into accomplishment," unquote. He also said, quote, "The unexpressed man is incomplete," unquote. Now, the reason is the expression of man is the divine living through us. And the following quote, I think, is an essential premise of New Thought science. Quote, "Everything we are doing, our slightest desires are important to the universe." Our slightest desires are important to the universe because they are an expression of the universe. The happiness of the individual life is essential to the universal wholeness, for thus alone can it find an extension of itself. Unquote. Remember the Emily Cady quote, "Desire is always God tapping at the door of your consciousness with his infinite supply. It's wanting to be expressed. It is divine expression through us." Abraham is so similar. Source revels in the new ideas and accomplishments of each of us. The universe is ever expanding, and Source expands through us and by us. Remember, as Ernest says, quote, "We are divinely guided. Everything in our lives is controlled by love, harmony, and peace. These are the vibrations of Source. Same vibrations of the energy back of thought. Energy back of thought is divine energy, and it is a guiding energy." There's this saying, to live every day as if there is no tomorrow. I remember Tony Robbins saying, we need to live every day as if there is a tomorrow. See, we need to love every moment, knowing that in connection to Source, our dreams do come true, that we and God are having a love affair, and that every moment we are creating, and we are partners with the universe and its expansion, and we live in anticipation of what tomorrow will bring that will surprise and delight us. Ernest says, "We are divinely guided that," quote, "we are divinely guided that everything we do prospers, and that eternal energy back of all things animates everything which we undertake," unquote. And as Joe Dispenza says at the end of his morning meditation, quote, and if in fact you emulate the divine today and make contact with it, that you ask for a sign from this consciousness, this loving intelligence, and that it bring it to you in a way that you least expect, that surprises you, and that leaves no doubt that it came from this mind, and that you are inspired to do it again and again when it finds you in unexpected ways. And in Ernest's typical way, he finishes with, quote, "The greatest good which our mind is able to conceive should be confirmed as part of our everyday experience. From such daily meditation, we should venture forth into a life of action with the will to do, the determination to be, and a joy in the becoming." Unquote. And as Abraham says, and for now, we are complete. Thank you.